This week on Potlatch, Morris Thompson of Tanana, Senator Ted Stevens, and Melvin Charlie of Minto.
When the green dark forest was too silent to be real. But time has no beginnings and history has no bounds. As to this verdant country they came from all around. They sailed upon her waterways and they walked the forest tall. Built the mines, the mills, and the factories for the good of us all. And when the young man's fancy was turned in the spring, the railroad men grew restless for hear the hammers ring. Their minds were overflowing with the visions of their day. And many a fortune won and lost, and many a debt to pay. Oh, they looked in the future, and what did they see? A son and road run from the sea to the sea. Bring goods to a young growing land, all up from the seaports and into their hands. Look away, said they, across this mighty land. From the eastern shore to the western strand. Bring the workers and break the rails. We've got to lay down the tracks and tear up the trails. Open our heart, let the lifeblood flow. Gotta get on our way, cause we're moving too slow. Bring the workers and break the rails. We've got to lay down the tracks and tear up the trails. Heart, let the lifeblood flow. Gotta get on our way, cause we're moving too slow. Get on our way, cause we're moving too slow. Behind the blue Rockies, the sun is declining. The stars, they come stealing at the close of across the white prairie, our loved ones lie sleeping. Beyond the dark oceans, in a place far away. We are navvies who work upon the railway, swinging our hammers in the bright blazing sun. Living on stew and drinking bad whiskey. Bending our backs till the long days are done. We are navvies who work upon the railway. Swinging our hammers in the bright blazing sun. Laying down track and building the bridges. Bending our backs till the railroad is done. So over the mountains and over the plains, into the
Muskegon into the rain. Up the St. Lawrence all the way to Gaspé. The swinging of hammers and drawing a page. Driving the men and tying them down. Away to the bunkhouse end of the town. A dollar at the end, a place for my head. A drink to the living, a toast to the dead. Oh, the song of the future has been sung. Oh, the battles have been won. On the mountain tops we stand. Oh, the world at our command. We have opened up the soil with our teardrops and our toil. Oh, there was a time in the spareland when the railroad did not run. And the wild, majestic mountains stood alone against the sun. Long before the white man and long before the wheel. When the green, dark forest was too silent to be real. When the green, dark forest was too silent to be real. And many are the dead men too silent to be real.
Someone once said, all the business of life is to find out what we don't know from what we do. I'm Morris Thompson. I'm an Athabascan Indian who was born and raised along the Yukon River in Alaska, and I'm also the Commissioner of Indian Affairs. I appreciate this opportunity to talk with you today, with you who are Indian, because important things are happening in the Indian community which you ought to know about. And with you who are not Indian, because the hundreds of letters we receive every day at the Bureau of Indian Affairs show your interest in the first Americans and your desire to receive accurate information about your Indian neighbors. In subsequent talks with you, I hope to talk about some of the significant developments in Indian education programs, what Indian tribes are doing to improve reservation economies, and how tribal governments work. We'll explore our country's policy of promoting Indian self-determination, the Indian's unique relationship with the United States government, some of the problems that Indian communities are trying to cope with, and other matters I think will be interesting and useful. Today I'd like to talk with you briefly about the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the federal agency most directly and deeply involved in working with Indian tribal groups. The BIA is like the elephant examined by the blind men. It seems as a lot of different things. Quite frankly, it's seen as a stuffy, inefficient bureaucracy, a paternalistic, non-Indian organization trying to manipulate and control the lives of Indian people. It's the villain responsible for anything and everything that's wrong in Indian country. Well, if you only feel the elephant's leg, it's not surprising that you think an elephant is like a tree. The BIA has been a lot of different things. When it was first created in 1824 as part of the War Department, its purpose was mainly to regulate trade between Indians and non-Indians and to minimize possible conflicts between the two groups. After the Bureau became part of the Department of Interior in 1849 and in the years since, it has generally reflected the thinking and attitudes of the Congress and the people of the United States. When the United States, for example, wanted a custodian for Indians on the reservations, the Bureau served that purpose. Today, we are past that sort of thing. The people of the United States recognize that our Indian citizens don't want or need custodians. They want and need opportunities. As Commissioner of Indian Affairs, it is my charge from the President of the United States to work with Indian communities. First, to help them pursue their own goals and manage their own affairs, and secondly, to help them in developing the human and natural resources needed to do this successfully. Today, the Bureau of Indian Affairs is changing from a predominantly non-Indian service organization providing education, road maintenance, and other programs on reservations to a predominantly Indian agency offering technical assistance to Indian tribes so they can administer their own programs. In the time that I've been commissioner, almost 2 years now, more than 50 top leadership positions in the Bureau have been filled by Indian people, chosen after extensive consultation with the communities they would serve. The result is that we now have Indian leaders in the Bureau working with tribal leaders to solve Indian problems. In recent years, Indian tribes have assumed responsibility under contracts with the Bureau for the operation of many of the reservation programs, and the passage of the Indian Self-Determination Act early this year is expected to further this trend. I don't expect the long-term problems of inadequate housing, unemployment, bad roads, and the like will suddenly disappear because Indians are more actively involved in seeking solutions. I do think, however, that this involvement is an essential element in making progress, a rung at a time, up the socioeconomic ladder. The United States, through the Bureau of Indian Affairs, maintains a unique relationship with the members of some 480 Indian tribes and Alaska village groups. It is trustee for more than 50 million acres of their land, and consequently responsible with the tribes for the prudent development and protection of these valuable resources. It is a relationship built through 200 years of history and numerous treaties, acts of Congress, and executive orders. The BIA is still an imperfect human organization. There's still a big job to be done in Indian country, but I think the United States, the BIA, and the Indian people are moving in the right direction. We're working together to get the job done. Thank you. I've enjoyed talking with you.
This program was brought to you by the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and the following music will be brought to you by John Ungayak. Thank you. John Ungayek. Commissioner of Indian Affairs Morris Thompson, whom we heard earlier, recently appeared before the Senate Interior Appropriations Committee. Senator Ted Stevens tells what questions he asked Commissioner Thompson.
Well, I have questions whether the regulations in the Indian Financing Act, which limits funds to village corporations established under the Alaska Native Land Claims Settlement Act, would and should preclude urban natives in Alaska from the benefits of these BIA programs. And Commissioner Thompson, who is a fellow Alaskan, said that BIA money could be used by urban groups if the funded projects would have a positive impact on the village areas. I think that Commissioner Thompson is doing a good job. He is now reviewing this whole subject by a task force that will be formed by BIA and the state of Alaska in terms of determining what schools will be transferred to the state-operated school system. We've got so many different problems to be worked out at this time. I questioned Commissioner Thompson at length when he appeared before the Appropriations Committee. I do believe that BIA must modernize their schools before they transfer them to the state. I think that the village programs must be extended into the urban area to be meaningful for those people who are temporarily in the urban areas. And as I say, I'm very pleased with our cooperation to date from Commissioner Thompson.
Senator Ted Stevens recently put a resolution on the floor of the Senate to get $1.5 million, which was set aside for the Bethel Hospital, to be used for the purpose for which the money was set aside. Now, Senator Stevens reports on how the Senate acted on his proposal.
Well, the full Senate has unanimously approved the resolution that I reported to the floor to disapprove the postponing of utilizing the funds that were made available at my request last year to start the construction of the Bethel Hospital. I think that this is a good thing. The Senate also disapproved the deferral request on the Youth Conservation Corps fund increases. We understand holding the line in terms of spending, but this money is within the budget of the Senate, and we think that it's a good expenditure.
Alaska Senator Ted Stevens. Here's a duet of Brazilian Indians and some Native American music, Latin style. A group from Brazil called Los Indios Tabajaras. Next, an interview with the former president of the Tanana Chiefs, Melvin Charlie.
I've been asked to run again, and I've thought about it for several months, and the reason I'm not seeking the presidency for the Tanana Chiefs Conference is that, number one, I feel that we have enough capable leaders that should start getting involved in the operations of our nonprofit association and our chiefs, and I feel that we have talented people throughout the region, and that they should have a chance, and our delegates should realize the fact that they have to search their souls and see whether they want somebody else in the presidency itself. But mainly is that I want to do something else also in terms of working for my people in another capacity. I think the greatest satisfaction that I had during the past 2 years as president of the Tanana Chiefs is receiving or signing the BIA contract that we are now administering the Fairbanks BIA agency. We have worked on that for the past 5 years, as long as I remember, as serving as a board of director. We have signed that contract, and now our operating services, which the Bureau used to operate, and I feel confident that we are doing a better job than they are doing, and we will continue to seek other contracts that the Bureau is now administering. My greatest disappointment, again, is the Bureau itself, and that their inability to cope with the Indian Self-Determination Act. They are still, I feel, in many ways, protecting themselves for jobs, protecting themselves against the takeover of programs by Native people in Alaska. And I feel this is wrong in terms of self-determination, and I think the Bureau should change its way in one way or another to meet the needs of the people and rather protect themselves. I think the Self-Determination Act can work, being that we have to put our heart and souls in it and understand the piece of legislation, the rules and regulations, and I think the thing we need to do is to provide a united front within the Tanana Chiefs, and for that matter, statewide, for all Indian people, all Native Eskimo, Aleut, to get together and work together and show the Bureau that we are a unified people, and therefore making us unified makes us determined to accomplish and work with the Indian Self-Determination Act. The main responsibility as President Tanana Chiefs is that of working with the 43 villages in our region, keeping them informed of all activities pertaining to the federal government, state government, local governments, keeping them informed on all aspects of contracting, and also ensuring that the central office of Tanana Chiefs is well-run, well-administered, and that we have capable people working in administration so that we can meet the needs, all needs, whether it be health, education, labor, whatever it may be. You know, I think this is very important. I think the president should also be very much involved in all aspects of negotiation and giving technical assistance in any manner that the village so desire. It has been a pleasure working for my people for the last 2 years. They gave me an opportunity as president to work for them. They have backed me up. They have showed a sense of unity. I've appreciated it, and I think this is what we need, and I will continue to work with our people and also to back up the president in whatever matters that he wished me to work on.
They tell me they've exploded the underground blast. What they say is happening's gonna happen at last. That's the way it appears. And they tell me the fault line runs right through here. If that may be, then that may be. What's gonna happen is gonna happen to me. That's the way it appears. And they tell me the fault line runs right through here. Atlantis will rise, Sunset Boulevard will fall. And where the beach used to be won't be nothing at all. That's the way it appears. And they tell me the fault line runs right through. Mother Nature's got gas, her diet's gone stale. See your acid indigestion on the Richter scale, that's the way it appears. And they tell me the fault line runs right through here. If that may be, then that may be. What's gonna happen is gonna happen to me. That's the way it appears. And they tell me the fault line runs right through here.
Music thanks to John Hartford. Thanks also to Melvin Charlie, Ted Stevens, and Morris Thompson. And thank you for listening to Potlatch. Potlatch is produced by KUAC under Title I of the Higher Education Act.